Welcome, everyone. My name is Pierce Homer. I'm the chair of the Navy Hill Advisory Commission. We're still waiting for a couple of our commissioners to show up who I know are on their way here, but we did want to be respectful of your time and get started with the public hearing process. We typically do a couple of housekeeping issues, but without a quorum, we're not going to take those up. But I would like to start with each commissioner just to briefly introduce yourself. Maybe stand up. We don't need a microphone. It's a small room. And then we'll go directly into public participation. What we would ask is that people come up, and we're asking for no more than 3 minutes. If I hold my hand up like this, this means you're at 3 minutes. Please sum up your comments at that point. We won't cut anybody off because we wanted to hear a complete thought, but it's also respectful of other people's time to not intrude on theirs. So with that, Grinley, you want to introduce yourself?
Good evening. My name is Grinley Johnson. I am the Deputy Secretary of Administration, and today was ugly sweater day. Don't be hating. I know y'all think this is cute.
Hi, I'm Mimi Sadler. I'm a small business owner in Southside Richmond, and I'm a historical architect.
I am John Gerner. I am a Managing Director of Leisure Business Advisors and a past president of the Union Hill Civic Association.
Great, and I'm Pierce Homer. I work for a private engineering company here in Richmond, and previously I've worked in Virginia State and local government for almost 30 years. We're going to go ahead and get started. The microphone should be on. We do need a place for a sign-up. So when you come up, if you would please, just sign your name. This is a formal public hearing, so we know who you are. And then speak right into the microphone. And like I say, when you get to 3 minutes, I'll hold our hands up. There's no particular order. So who would like to address the commission first? Yes, please, come on up.
Hi, my name is Jaleesa, and I reside in Richmond. What's going to happen if the Navy Hill project doesn't happen? No money is going to appear for schools. No money is going to appear for roads. No money is going to appear for teachers. Those of you who live in the right neighborhood will probably continue to stay in your position. But for those who doesn't live in the right neighborhoods, then people still in crisis are going to still be in crisis with no one to help them or the resources to help them. And it would be on the hands of the people on this commission.
My name is Marniqua. I'm a resident of Richmond. A lot of folks are trying to speak for us like we don't know better. I assume they are well-intentioned, but I only can speak for me. And I know that crises are in schools, start with families in crisis. Those families need jobs.
Good afternoon. My name is Pamela Irving, and I am going to say, why not Navy Hill? This is a good project for the downtown area. We can come together as one. We can make this happen to stop the homelessness, to bring people together. This opposition of this project comes from the place of privilege. Thank you, and you have a blessed day.
Good evening. My name is Debbie Rowe. I'm a lifelong city resident. I'm skeptical of this project and frustrated by the lack of public input at the beginning. Community-driven engagement would not only have rendered a more competitive bidding process, but encouraged trust from the community. This project will take increased tax revenues from existing property away from schools and infrastructure to pay back the bonds. Low-income residents will likely be displaced for failure of the project to provide true affordable housing. And there is no sunset clause in the ordinances ending the TIF, creating what some call a slush fund for developers after the arena has been paid off. I think that's unacceptable. Stoney ran on a platform of accountability and transparency. I believed he would work for all Richmond residents, not just a privileged few. Unfortunately, with this project, he has chosen to curry favor with corporate elites at the expense of working class, tax-paying residents. Therefore, I'm asking City Council to reject this project. Thank you. I want to thank the commission very much for your time and effort on all of this. I know it's been taxing. And a big shout out to Kim Gray for pushing for the commission. Thank you.
If you would please sign your name over here so we can identify.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Come on up.
Hey, my name is Charles Royster. I was just coming to say I'm very, very supportive of the project. Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you. Who else might share thoughts?
How y'all doing? My name is Eric Madison. Well, as far as the jobs, I feel like a lot more people need jobs. There's too many homeless people in Richmond. I'm a resident of Richmond. I've been here for 21 years. And homeless, they just keep rising. I'm a father of three. It's hard for me to get a job. Like, I feel like I shouldn't struggle as much to get a job. Like, they say you need experience. I have experience in a lot of fields. But, like, I mean, I know I don't have, like, years and years worth, but some type of experience count. And it's kind of hard for me to get a job. And to be honest, that's a problem. And there's a lot of people out here struggling, homeless, don't have a job, can't feed their families. And that's a problem. We shouldn't have to struggle this much. Like, people should put their heads together. Like, it gotta be planned. Like, y'all gotta make moves, make plans. Like, to be honest, none of us should be struggling. Like, I mean, I know it's hard out here. And a lot of my boys then died, like, because they wouldn't be out here gangbanging and taking from people and doing what people on the streets do, slanging, whatever you want to call it. And that's not the right way to live. Like, it's not. I lost too many people to that. Like, we need to start getting more jobs out there. We need to start pushing it. Like, that's a big fact. Like, that's a big factor. Like, we need the jobs. We need them. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Who else would like to share their thoughts with us? Yes, sir. Come on up.
Hello, my name is Omar. I'm a resident of Richmond. I'm from Churchill. I graduated from Armstrong High School. I still live in Churchill. I plan to come and speak on the plan's impact to housing and displacement of black residents, but it's really like with a heavy heart that I have to speak on something a bit more dangerous. So Comcast Spectra, whose parent company, Comcast, has been selected to be the operator of the proposed Coliseum. Comcast spends $11 billion on licensing to TV networks and spends less than $5 million on black-owned networks. When this was shown in a court, Comcast lost the racial discrimination lawsuit in the federal courts. It was based on the Civil Rights Act of 1866. They chose to appeal this to the U.S. Supreme Court to have the Supreme Court undo the country's first Civil Rights Act. And that legislation ensures equal treatment for blacks in terms of business contracts. Last month, Donald Trump sent his Department of Justice lawyer to argue on behalf of Comcast in this court case. Now, many people see this project as an opportunity for black businesses and jobs that would get a boost because of the promises of minority business participation. Not only has Governor Wilder informed the public that that type of preferred treatment was ruled illegal by the Supreme Court in 1989, but Comcast, and by extension, Spectra, is fighting to destroy our rights to even be treated equally. You know, my ancestors, along with hundreds of thousands of Americans, did not die so that a multi-billion dollar company could come back 160 years later to make their deaths meaningless. By approving this plan, we would be agreeing to further financially empower a racist juggernaut of a media company and taking present and future generations of Black Americans back to the Reconstruction era. We would be agreeing to empower this corporation to relegate HBCU graduates into poverty. That will make Governor Northam's recent promise of funding towards HBCUs virtually meaningless. We can't afford to look at this project as though it's just in a vacuum. I guarantee you that Comcast Spectra and Navy Hill District Corporation is not looking at this project in a vacuum. I guarantee you that these corporations are aware that when Kansas City did their similar project, the lead developer simply gave the contracts to a sub-developer who can't be legally required to include any minority businesses. On Monday night, I encouraged my fellow advocates on the other side supporting this plan to get those minority businesses into the contract in writing. You know, and I wonder if these loopholes are the real reason that no Black-owned or no woman-owned businesses' names are included in the contract. We need to be aware that Trump's Department of Justice is also moving forward to undo the Fair Housing Act's disparate impact protections. And that's the foundation of housing discrimination claims. This is important because if Trump is successful with that, there could possibly be no Blacks in the proposed housing plan for this plan. There could be legally no gay people. There could legally be no women businesses. People are speaking of this project as if it's progress for our city, progress for Black people, progress for women. And given the behavior of the partners in this project, this is quite possibly the very opposite. It's the progress part of the efforts to take Richmond and our entire nation of Blacks and women backwards 160 years to a time before there were any free Blacks residing or living, 30 seconds, or owning any businesses in Jackson Ward, Richmond, or throughout the country. Please read the writing on the wall. This is not the plan for this city or this country.
I'd also like to speak.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. Thank you all for allowing me to speak. My name is Victor Landry. I'm the general manager of the VSU Multipurpose Center, which is managed by Spectra. I did want to take a few opportunities to talk about Spectra and the VSU Multipurpose Center and some of the things that we're doing there to kind of enlighten and clear the air a little bit about Spectra and the company we manage. Spectra is a company that is owned by Interos, which is a New York-based firm. Comcast is not a part of the majority ownership group of Spectra. They are a minority owner through their subsidiary, Comcast Spectra Corp. So that's important to clarify. In addition to that, I also wanted to talk about some of the things that we're doing here in the community. The VSU Multipurpose Center has a 70% minority, both Black and brown individuals who are employed in the leadership team there at the facility. I think that's important to note. Our other facility that is here as well, the Richmond Convention Center, as you all know and have heard the story a few times, been in the community 18 years and currently has over 60% minority participation in the facility. I would also like to talk, both of us are participators in the SWAM procurement requirements here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, which focus on small businesses, minorities, businesses here in the Commonwealth of Virginia that are registered. In addition to that, I would like to talk about me and my personal story. I've been a part of Spectra since 2013. This company has allowed me to grow and flourish and lead into leadership here within the organization. I started out with the company as an event manager at one of our other accounts in the company and was able to progress from event manager to assistant general manager all the way to general manager of the VSU Multipurpose Center. And that is the commitment that Spectra makes not only to me, but to the employees that we have within the facilities around the globe that we have. thank you for allowing me an opportunity to speak, and I encourage the project.
Hi, my name is Helena. I'm a local restaurant manager, and I grew up in small business in Richmond, and I'm born and raised RPS student. I just wanted to talk a little bit about what this means for restaurants and retail. Currently, Richmond restaurants are struggling super hard with trying to compete with each other for an idea of population that just simply doesn't exist. We're still quite a small city, even though we are growing. And this idea would pit restaurants against each other, putting some in a TIF district and some not in a TIF district, which creates seriously terrible competition. And also, it's very unclear where the meals tax of that TIF district is going, and it's attached to sales tax, which then gets into the power of corporate control. I see many reasons why this is an issue, and I'm very worried about cannibalization of Richmond restaurants, especially smaller ones, as things like Chili's move in and completely erase small businesses. I would argue that it creates a lack of certainty in the Richmond workforce, as more and more jobs and restaurants will be thinned out and will have to close, and in the retail sector as well, but I can't speak to that as knowledgeably. I also know that through decades of research and experience, that publicly funded, not my research experience, but American, that publicly funded programs with citizen leadership are what solves issues of poverty, like underfunded schools and homelessness. It's not corporate welfare that solves those. It actually makes them much, much worse. There's much statistics on this. Our current programming in Richmond is beyond pathetic, and we really need to focus on infrastructure over more corporate welfare to people like Tom Farrell of Dominion Energy. The endless streams of corporate welfare given to the likes of Dominion and Altria needs to stop. We have numerous examples of how this greatly increases instability and is ecologically unsound in a time of climate crisis. As one person mentioned earlier, no one should have to struggle, which is extremely true, and lots of Richmonders are struggling. If we want to create jobs, we need to prioritize cooperative structures and that we know work and not lofty corporate projects that are risky and dangerous to the people of Richmond. We also know that grant and loan programs for minority-owned businesses make it for a diverse and better paid workforce, especially when Dominion paid zero, and I'll repeat, zero taxes in 2018. Has anyone here paid taxes in 2018? I'm pretty sure everybody did. Yet, we're gonna give them more of our tax money. I would actually love to see a moratorium, which is not y'all's in your control, of corporate welfare to Richmond. And I think this is beyond offensive to give Dominion and Tom Farrell. It's beyond offensive for them to use the black struggle to sell us this sham, as Tom Farrell made a movie romanticizing Confederates. So thank you for your time.
I also want to add that if you want to follow up what you're saying tonight with an email message, then your message will be included in the minutes of this public hearing.
Good evening. My name is James Fobbs, Jr. Thank you, Chairman, and all of the staff for coming and allowing me to speak along with all the others. I'm James Fobbs with Fobbs Quality Signs. I grew up in the Richmond area, and I remember at early age growing up in Richmond, Coliseum was the center of attention. I'm 47 years old now, and we still see the Coliseum. And so I support the Navy Hill because of one of the biggest things is we need a change. In my business, I've been in business for a year, but I've been under the business for almost 30 years. And so I know construction, I know a little about infrastructure and about construction. And if we just go downtown, don't have to name no companies. Companies come in, they build, they leave. They have their own people. This is an opportunity for many opportunities for others to join in. I'm hoping that's the agreement, that minorities are going to benefit along with taking care of the roads, taking care of the homeless, taking care of housing, taking care of redeveloping and helping the city. I know in anything we cannot help 100%, but I know that it's going to benefit many. And so, but we need a change. I done drove through South Carolina, Virginia, North Carolina, Florida, and there's so much building going everywhere, it's ridiculous. And for us to be where we at in my lifetime, 40 years later, and we still looking at the same downtown, we really need a change. And so I just want to encourage the program and support the program, and just hoping the program guarantees what it says, what it's in print. And so it's going to benefit many others, and hopefully many others will benefit and help those that didn't make it in the agreement. And so it's our job to work together to try to help those that didn't get in. And so I'm a supporter, and I'm going to be determined to be supportive of this project.
How you doing? My name is Dr. Malcolm. I'm a restaurateur owner in the city of Richmond, as well as a food truck owner. I wanted to speak on something that I didn't hear mentioned as much, and that's the Dillon Rule. This city is in competition with the surrounding counties. And what makes this unique by bringing a project into the city of Richmond is we've been listening to people want jobs. I think what the surrounding areas are not knowing is that as Henrico, Chesterfield, Ashland, as these counties grow, their budgets and their income stay locked into those counties. Richmond needs to identify what is its anchor project that's actually going to elevate and bring income into it in order to be able to draw other businesses to build a tax base for the schools and so forth. Without this project, what is Richmond known for? It used to be a manufacturing city where you had all these warehouses. The fastest growing businesses in Richmond right now have been the breweries, because they step into those warehouse spaces, and that's where your growth has been taking place. You don't have too many real estate opportunities in the city to be able to build off of. This becomes an anchor project. I do hear the protests against the project, and what I'm hearing mostly is that people want to know how can they tie into the project, basically. How do we create jobs? How do we own jobs? How do we build off the current basis here? I think that if the project goes forward, keeping in mind for the city council to continue to have a conversation with the community. You have those who are in fear of gentrification and they feel locked out. But if you keep that conversation active and rezone districts around the arena, that's the most important thing. Right now, as it is zoned right now, you cannot, with a license, do any type of street vending around it. So there's money that could be made with the citizens when a big event comes to town. But until that zoning changes, nothing be done. So I think it's a positive that if we realize it's an anchor project, and then the conversation can continue as to how can we build and create jobs and help the city become aware of, here's where we landlocked at. Here's where we're locked on licenses. Then your protests will start to go down more. So I'm definitely for the project.
Somebody left their phone, is you?
No,
yeah.
Recording.
Oh, make sure I don't say anything. Make sure I don't say anything inappropriate. Good evening. My name is Reggie Ford. I'm with the I'm in the 8th district. I am for the project, and I want to say this too. I'm not for the project because Tom Farrell's name is attached to it or because the mayor's name is attached to it. Believe it or not, Tom Farrell can't make this decision. He has a board he has to answer to. So, but anyway, Richmond needs something. If not this project, what? Now, I think what the issue is, many people really do not understand the project and have not taken the time to really understand the project. Now, is everything laid out correctly? No. But do not scrap the whole project, throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's see what's not working, where we have some issues with, and then let's sit together and talk about that. People talking about the real estate is going to go up. It's going to go up whether we get the project or not. So it's best to let it go up and get the incremental tax revenue to pay for these projects. Now, I know it was Navy Hill, and I know the history behind Navy Hill. It's a shame what happened back then, but are we going to let barren land just sit there, which is not producing any type of income currently now? I know a lot of people have their emotions attached to it. We need to separate the emotions and see what we can do for the city. If you look 20, 30 years ago, Richmond was ahead of Charlotte, North Carolina. Look at Charlotte, North Carolina. Look at Nashville, Tennessee. Now, I can go online, and anybody can go online and find some other areas where TIFs didn't work and this didn't happen, and they can throw that up. Well, for everyone you can find that, I can find another one and say how great TIFs were. I am in favor of this. I think this is one of the best things that has come to the city. Last point, no matter what the prior administration did, how bad their decisions they made or on the Redskin stadiums, on the whatever happened, we can't base everything off of when we stubbed our toe. We still got to walk forward and try to make sure things go. So again, thank you for allowing me to have the opportunity to speak on this project.
Good evening. My name is Whitney Whiting. I'm a resident of the 4th District. I actually emailed you all a four-page, rather long comment. I'm going to try to keep it short tonight in my actual comments, but I wanted to talk to you about democratic process tonight. Yes, you all have heard a lot about Tom Farrell, but it's not in vain. It's not for no reason. I want to once and for all bury the notion that this all started with the mayor's request for proposals. It's an undisputed fact that I've even heard Grant Neely last year admitted that this idea for a new arena originated with Tom Farrell and his friends as far back as 2011. This is important because it changes the nature of the story we've been told about this deal, who it's for, who benefits from it, and who's making the decisions for the city's collective future. And to be quite frank, the fact that Tom Farrell is the one who came up with this idea is the number one reason why I don't trust it. I have personally studied and documented Dominion's behavior in communities across the Commonwealth for the past 5 years, and I've watched them harm communities of color in order to get what they want. We've seen them straight up lie to state agencies. And we've seen them, most importantly, manipulate the democratic process using their influence on citizen boards very similar to this one when it looked like things weren't going their way. And I think it's important to get that on the record because it matters when we're talking about good faith and promoting things like racial equity. And I've also outlined some of the other players in this proposal and some of the other racial discrimination and honestly just bad business practice that they have been taken to court for over the past several years. But going back to the RFP though, this is my main concern. I want to go back to the beginning of this whole thing. It deeply confuses and concerns me why the original RFP written by the mayor's administration releases this project. It releases itself from being subject to virtually any city code, Chapter 21 or otherwise. Chapter 21 being the code on public procurement. I've cited it in my email comments. This is crazy to me. I don't understand how. I've heard this brought up before about why haven't there been other respondents, why has this process gone forward? If you look at page one of the original request for proposals, it says we are not subject to Chapter 21 of the code. And it says we're not subject to any public procurement law. It doesn't substitute any other law that it's subject to. And this should be absolutely one of the biggest concerns for our city council members. And it's a huge concern to me. And it goes back to that original, what I said before, that this is why Tom Farrell matters. It's documented in articles going back to 2017 that this was an idea that was already in the works before the request for proposals was released on November 9th, 2017. And to the point where on February 6th, 2017, 9 months before the request for proposals came out, Dominion bought the rights to DominionEnergyArena.com the same day that they rebranded their entire corporation and changed their logo. This is clearly a long-term plan for them. And I guess to summarize, yeah, thank you. I think this plan is nothing but risk for the city and the people who live here. I think there's a big difference between risk to financial capital from people who already have tons and tons of money and who don't pay zero taxes, federal taxes every year. There's a difference between that and risk to people. I urge you to please consider not only the inherent risk to people, but the undemocratic process that's gotten us here thus far in your response to City Council. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Thomas Harrison, professionally known as Fat Tommy. I have been in the music business since probably 1990. I grew up in Richmond, and people are constantly saying that there doesn't need to be an arena. They say that people won't come, artists won't play. That's totally wrong, it's absurd. Everyone played Richmond from Janet Jackson, Rhythm Nation, Prince back in the day, Bruce Springsteen, Garth Brooks. I'm currently a president of a country music label. Taylor Swift would play Richmond if we had bigger seats, a bigger arena. So to think that artists won't come, that's not true. To think that the ticket price is too much, I looked up a study to see what Polestar said the average ticket price. The average ticket price in America is somewhere between $96 and $108. Now people are gonna say that's a lot of money, except I took my wife to Cine Bistro the other day and I spent $137. So in comparison, a movie ticket versus a concert is totally different. Also, when you look there in that ticket price, there's seats that are $40. So when you look at the average price, it's taking the biggest grossing tours over all the dates and averaging it. So you have to say that we're from New York to Miami. It's a national equation, so we're somewhere in the middle. So if a ticket price is $100 here, the nosebleed seats will be $40. So we will be able to afford it. We buy iPhones for our children. We do everything we want to do. The tickets aren't going to be too much, and the artists will play Richmond. It's been known, it's been proven. Anybody grew up in Richmond knows that everyone came here. Luther, Anita Baker, you couldn't stop concerts from coming. And we had a horrible sound system, and they still came. The biggest complaint was our sound system was terrible, and all the artists still played here. The biggest complaint now is load in and load out. So the reason we need a new Coliseum is because people don't want to play here because it's too small, only has 13,000 seats. The load in and load out is a problem, and it's old. It was built in 1971. I mean, that makes it 48 years old. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
My name is Kyrie Pett, and I support the program. Thank you.
Thank you for your time, Commission. My name is Michael Hartzell. I'm a resident of the 5th District. I submitted my comments about an hour ago, and I believe I forwarded them to you. If you could forward them to the rest of the commission, that'd be great. So I'm going to focus on one of four of my primary comments in those statements, and it's about the process that we see before us today. Sadly, I believe that the mere existence of the Navy Hill Development Advisory Commission is a direct indictment of this project and the procurement process from which we all must now react. The ever-changing complexity of performance metrics, financials, underlying assumptions, and varied project risks scream loud and clear to me that the Navy Hill option is too unwieldy for even the best and brightest of Richmond citizens to grasp and understand, let alone have multiple city administrations manage it over a 30-year period. It should not take a panel of freelance lawyers, architects, and other consultants to realize this binary choice is not in the best interests of anyone living in Richmond. Since the initiation of the RFP process, Richmond has been negotiating from a position of utter weakness. This flies in the face of increasing demographic shifts to the city, billions of dollars of investment under construction today, and restoration of many neighborhoods from underutilized or blighted condition. Best practices and basic good governance would have resulted in an open, broad-based RFP that encouraged creative ideas, multiple alternatives, and positive outcomes to choose from. Instead, we are left holding the bag, forced to make a binary choice, Navy Hill or nothing. City Council and Richmond citizens are on the receiving end of a top-down, exclusive, and limited approach to Navy Hill's redevelopment. The man who spearheads the effort has untamable political weight and influence over the city, dictating to our political leaders what is needed and what should be. In the wake of this disastrous and secretive process, we have experienced knee-jerk decision-making and undue influence over our governing processes. The supposed community benefits generated by the Navy Hill development are baby carrots held out underneath a giant stick wielded by Tom Farrell and his marketing team that will come whacking down on us when this is not approved. This near tyrannical process has resulted in several negative outcomes already to our populace. In my comments, I list out what those negative outcomes are, so for brevity, I will continue on beyond that. Okay, I'm almost done. Of greater concern is how this process has divided citizens, neighbors, and friends. We are debating the merits of very minor community benefits delivered by the plan. Affordable housing that's not so affordable. Minority business participation that can be promised but not guaranteed. A reconnected street grid for a cul-de-sac, which I make a comment in my explanation of that in my written comments. And additional subsidized event space. The problem lies in that this plan tries to appease all of Richmond's problems, but really addresses none in any significant way. Spending upwards of $600 million over the life cycle of an arena project based on future revenues is indicative of the dire financial position the city is in. We cannot risk future generations on the promises and misguided vision of Tom Farrell.
How you doing? My name is Reggie Bates. I'm a program analyst for RVA Growth and a small business owner in the south side of Richmond. If you would have asked me earlier when this project came together, I would have told you I was completely against it. If you ask me now, I'm for it. I do feel that, yes, Richmond does need a change. The Coliseum, yes, is outdated, not to mention that it's sitting there and not making any money. My concern with this project is even though it's a great thing to have, I really feel that having the taxpayer on the hook for something that is nothing no more than a debt load, banking on businesses around it to overcompensate for the money being lost by the Coliseum, I think that will be a big problem. Also, as a small business owner, if I'm going to be paying taxes, as a taxpayer, if I'm going to be paying taxes on something, I would like to be a part of the project, especially if it's such a big project that pays out a lot of money. I feel that a lot of people that live in Richmond, a lot of Richmond residents, that I feel that a lot of them are going to be, they're not qualified for some of the high-paying jobs. And I feel like the status quo of county workers coming in or outside workers outside of Richmond coming in making the big money, then once the project's done, Richmond residents get the minimum wage jobs. And nothing just changes. However, I'm not saying that as a complaint. I'm saying that to say, I feel that if this project goes through, I feel that the people of Richmond should have a fair share of getting some of the jobs in which they're paying taxes on, as opposed to having outsiders coming in from lower tax bases, taking big money, taking it back to their counties and living nice in their big homes, while we struggle with the low-end jobs paying high taxes for homes that we can barely keep going. like I tell everyone, Richmond will be rich with or without you. So my thing is I'm very optimistic. I'm for it. I just would like to see that the residents of Richmond also get a shot at being a part of this program instead of being left out until the end and getting the scraps. Thank you.
Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Guess you guys have seen me a many a times. Welcome to God's country. We call it South Side of Richmond.
It wouldn't be a meeting
without you. It wouldn't be a meeting without. I'm proud that you took the opportunity to place on your schedule to come return back to South Side Richmond. For those that are in the audience and for the commissioners, I'm president of the Jeff Davis Neighborhood Civic Association. So you're actually in my territory. So I wanted to just sit back and say, I'm not going to even speak, let everybody else speak. But I'm compelled to get up and speak because of listening to some of the comments that were made. The fact that I've spent all day at home watching the impeachment. And I'm eager to get back to see what's going on there because I learned a lot there. And I've shared with you at the last meeting that I come to inform or to be informed. Today I've been informed by a number of things that have been said today, and I have some things I'd like to inform you about also. One of the things in South Side of Richmond that I believe that the citizens in the 8th District, Mr. Ford, have been disfranchised on the opportunity to really give a heart-to-heart conversation about the Navy Hill Project. So with that, it's my due diligence as a leader in this community to have a community meeting that is being scheduled January 9th. At the Satellite Restaurant at 6 o'clock p.m. And I'm hoping that the commissioners can come there and listen to some residents there so we can go back and forth, those that are available. And you can email me, and I'll be glad to answer you also. But I say this also. This neighborhood development proposal has been divided amongst the community in Richmond, and it's sad. Just like I watched the impeachment procedures going on that's actually happening now. It's sad because as the gentleman stood up today and I said earlier that we either going to have a neighborhood, we either going to have a downtown development or we're going to have a downtown development. Something is going to happen. The advantage I see for this project, whether we call it the Navy Hill, Church Hill, Southside, Hillside, or whatever we call it, is the fact that I get an opportunity to meet some folks I've never met before. I get a chance to say some things I've never said before, and I get a chance to even ask to be included at the table and to have a courageous conversation. The reason why I wanted to sit at the table is because I've learned that if you at war, the battle is not won at the battlefield. The war is won at the table. And we have to sit at the table and have conversations like this. This is why you guys are sitting at the table. So the gentleman that was before me that said, hey, we want the small guys to have jobs. We have folks like Grace Washington. Folks that I have a son, was that 4 seconds? Okay, we about to be, okay. I have a son that's coming home from being incarcerated. I don't mind saying it. He's looking forward to work. So I met folks like Michelle Mosby that has a Help Me Help You organization that also cares about folks that are incarcerated so my son can have a job when he come home. Because he's been gone for a while and I don't know what kind of job to get him. But we got organizations like that. We have people that want careers and jobs. So we have the Grace Washingtons and we have those folks that are sitting at the table that you all have allowed and others have allowed. And I'm glad to be included with that and I appreciate you all coming out to the communities instead of everything being held downtown where we might get a ticket for parking at certain times. I'm glad you are here in my community. And I invite you to come out January the 9th, 6 o'clock, at the Satellite Restaurant, where we're going to be having a courageous conversation with 8th District residents. Not everybody across town. You're welcome to come and listen, but this is going to be 8th District residents.
Who else?
Amen. That'll be me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That'll be me. So today, I'm Michelle Mosby of the 9th District. There was some back and forth today on social media, and I just want to have a conversation about what was said. So they were talking about gentrification, and I got an opportunity to get in it because what I've learned is that gentrification doesn't always happen through something happening proposed by the city. So, and I needed them to understand that I'm not oblivious to what happened with the 95 highway. I understand that people were displaced. However, today we face private development and developers, and it is only when the city puts forward something, and God forbid Tom Farrell is in it, we hear swinging and coming out with no. Yep. But what I found is that private agreements that are not highlighted and do not offer half of what is proposed in this proposal, and let me say I was born in Richmond, I was born at Richmond Memorial Hospital, lived on the north side on Fort Wayne Lane. I've watched private development change Church Hill. I've also watched, and I wouldn't have never thought warehouses could be apartments, but I've watched Scott's Addition change through private development. Mm-hmm. I've watched Chaco Bottom change through private development. Mm-hmm. I've watched Manchester change through private development. I've seen Jefferson Davis change through private development. Blackwell has some redevelopment happening, changing. People say they got some 5 new white people on the street in Blackwell, private development. My issue is that private development happens and gentrification happens and no one says a thing. Exactly. No one says a thing about minority participation. No one says a thing about the need to create jobs and the job pipeline. There is no fallout about affordable housing or the lack thereof. The development just happens. No one does homework on the developer and says he's racist or that he has some kind of issue with black folk.
That's right.
None of these things happen. The development just happens. I'm trying to figure out why we can't together see what we can agree on in the city, proposed development, and then work from there out. Richmond, I believe, has some smart people. Smart is not just in the counties. I believe we deserve more than spending our money in the counties. I went to Chesterfield Mall numerous times during this holiday, and it was packed. I'm not saying we should only do box stores, but I am saying we should figure out how to pull out some of the greatness in this project for our city. Now, the next thing I said on social media was that Tom Farrell is going to be Tom Farrell whether this happens or not. He is going to be the CEO of Dominion whether Navy Hill happens or not. But there are some things that will have an effect on them if there is no Navy Hill. If we have no Navy Hill, there will be zero residents in the area. With Navy Hill, there will be 480 affordable housing units with a path for hundreds more and bring more than 2,500 mixed income units to downtown. With no Navy Hill, there isn't the deliberate job training, but with Navy Hill, we create an estimate of 12,500 construction jobs, 9,300 permanent jobs in offices, restaurants, and stores, along with job training and workforce development opportunities. Hold on. No Navy Hill. School funding, I think I heard at you all's commission meeting, is about $200 million was the given number. With Navy Hill, it provides about $500 million for Richmond Public Schools to create new tax revenue, to invest in families, education, and city services. It drives up the cost of living downtown. Oh, and I think if I heard it right, the risk to schools was only if it goes below $200 million, which I didn't hear anybody say it went below at that meeting. I'm summing. No Navy Hill, I need us to understand that Tom Farrell's still rich. With Navy Hill, it brings $1 billion of private investment to Richmond with no city subsidy or handouts for the developers. No Navy Hill, keep paying foreclosed Coliseum. With Navy Hill, we bring back shows and sports and major events for Richmonders to enjoy. And no Navy Hill, we continue to have an arena, an area that makes little to no money for the city and is not conducive to organic growth. But with Navy Hill, we turn parking lots and properties that pay little or no taxes into a busy downtown area that will generate much needed revenue for the city for generations to come. No Neighbor Hill. We continue to let private development build and not assist with any other ills of the city except the tax base. No, you let Omari keep going with Navy Hill. Invest in $300 million in minority businesses and provide local business with opportunities to stay build and grow in Richmond. With no Navy Hill, local businesses keep going as usual. With Navy Hill, we welcome people downtown by fixing city infrastructure, drawing crowds. No Navy Hill, we keep complaining about core services. With Navy Hill, we generate tax revenue that will provide $1 billion in surplus revenue to the city, with $500 million going to Richmond Public Schools and $150 million to housing and homeless services, along with historic commitments to affordable housing and minority business increased taxes for the average Richmonder. It creates new tax revenue for the city without raising taxes for Richmonders. Again, no Navy Hill, Tom Farrell is still rich. And my 29-year-old daughter said to me when I told her that everybody was fussing about restaurants coming and the competition, she said, Mom, if you go on the cereal aisle, what you see is Captain Crunch added marshmallows. He didn't take his off the shelf. He just kept doing stuff so his would stay relevant. When you have a business, you have to do stuff to stay relevant.
Exactly.
You can't say we can't bring other restaurants or we can't bring other salons. You do stuff to
work.
Stay relevant.
Work.
Good evening, commissioners. Sandra Antoine, 5th District, longtime resident of Richmond, born and raised in the city as well. But unlike my brother Charles, I'm not focusing on the impeachment. My mind is focused on what seems to be an improbability or impossible in this city to grow and develop, to offer opportunities for the masses, for those that have been left behind for generations, opportunity to build wealth, and I will focus on that. What I'm also focused on is that possibility that exists in Henrico and Chesterfield, as I keep hearing and observing on the news, because not only did Henrico County over a month ago announce the development of a sports facility, but also a hotel accommodation for that. And then yesterday, Chesterfield County announces that it's going to redevelop the old Cloverleaf Mall that I think used to be ours, but you know, we've landlocked ourselves and we've lost all that land, to redevelop that area once again for more housing, but strategically, they place it near that line. So that all we have to do is to step over and spend our money from the city. Not only that, I'm looking at just other opportunities that just keep getting away from us. But maybe it's because those people, those individuals that have visions of a brighter future for all, maybe they'll just rest and position themselves around us and they look back at us and decide that they don't want to be included in anything that takes place here because we don't want to go anywhere. We've landlocked ourselves, we've dug ourselves in a hole, and that can that used to be empty, that they used to kick down the road, is now filled with people that are saying we need opportunities. So I hope when they kick the can, if they decide to kick the can, that if they stump that toe, they remember that that hill is still back there, and that hill exists in Church Hill. That hill exists over in other hills around this city where people are waiting for opportunities to just have better days. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Joyce Smith, and I would like to say something to this event and this factor. The reason why I'm real concerned, because I'm thinking about the people, young and old, that need, you know, assisted living or low income housing, that don't have transportation to move in the county somewhere. Even the one that will give them more opportunity to work and to afford better, because there's not a lot of jobs out here. that they can probably get. The other thing is with people that have housing vouchers, they're losing their vouchers because in the city, a lot of these companies are not even renewing their vouchers, and they don't have anywhere to live. And that's serious. They can't move to the county because they don't have transportation. A lot of them don't have jobs. So we need to think about that for real, you know, because you might have a lot of people that can go out to the county. Some buses don't go to the county, and they don't have transportation. So where are they going to live? They lose the vouchers. What are they going to do? That's all I have to say to that.
Hello. My name is Devin Keynes. I'm the 6th District. Today I thought I was going to come in here and just vehemently hate the plan, the project. And I heard some really, really compelling arguments from people. And it helped me really just realize how complicated it was. I live in Manchester. I live in a food desert. Luckily, I'm privileged enough to be able to afford a car. But many people in where I live have to get their food from the Dollar Tree, which is unacceptable. It's not a place to get food. But people have to get their nutrients from there. They have to get their children the food from there. Richmond has grown a lot in the last 20 years. A lot of it due to gentrification, VCU, and also businesses have been growing. But a lot of the growth has only helped certain people that have either moved to the city or people that were lucky enough to be in the right areas. And much of the growth has not affected the majority of the city. I like the idea of having a plan that creates growth, like the Navy Hill Project. But I fear that when people say it will create jobs, when people say it will create affordable housing, I fear that it will create a lot of minimum wage jobs with no health care, no daycare, and people will be unable to live there still. It'll become short pump in downtown, which might help some people, but I feel like it's not what Richmond needs. Currently, I don't think I support it, but if there can be a guarantee that the taxes would really go to the schools in Richmond, if there can be a guarantee that the citizens will be given real jobs that can support a family, then I would support it. Thank you.
Anybody else? Welcome.
Welcome. I welcome myself back. I am Grace Washington with J&G Workforce Development. Workforce development for our communities that have lacked opportunities is a very, very difficult thing to achieve because we have individuals living in those communities with little to no skills, little to no experience, little to no education. So to try and start them off at a livable wage is very difficult. And so the challenge is to connect them to training, employment, and opportunities without relegating them to the working poor. And so that takes a balance and someone who really understands the communities that we're working with and how to network with them, which ones need training, which ones need direct connection to a job. Construction is one of those areas where we can take someone, regardless of their background, and get them trained. We can start them out at $12 an hour, and over a period of time with a sustained project, you can get them up to $20 an hour, which is a living wage. It takes a huge effort to be able to move the community. Sometimes what they call a low-wage part-time job is exactly what they need because it does not move them beyond that threshold where they lose all of their benefits, where they lose their Medicaid or their medical, where they're losing their food stamps. And so it is a very complicated process. I've been doing this now for 15 years. Willingly, My office is embedded in one of the Big Six communities. I work with this community every single day. I like to think that I was asked to be at the table because of my experience and expertise. I am not a sellout, as I have been accused of. I have not fought anybody on social media. I work with all of my advocate friends in the community because it's going to take the village to move the city. We all have to work together, but it is a very complicated process. And so kudos to many of our teachers who have come to defend public education. I commend them for that, but they are not workforce development or training experts. So to say and to come in that lane and say, you know what is good for those people, our people living in those communities, you may work there, but you get off at 3 o'clock and you may go home, but they live there permanently. And so you don't know what's that, you know, what's good for them. You don't understand workforce development. You don't understand what it's going to take to move them. So it's great that we have great quality schools, but we understand it's going to take a multi-pronged approach to change Richmond and to elevate our low-income communities. Thank you.
Who else would like to speak? I know we had a couple people come in. We've had several speakers.
Hi. It's my pleasure to be here. My name is Beverly Fox. I'm president of Jose Productions. We are concert promoters that have been in existence over 60 years. So combined, my husband and I have 80 years of experience in doing concerts and entertainment. I'm here in support of the project. The reason I support it is because every time we get ready to do a large concert or a large event, we have to take it outside of the city. The city is my base. I've got to go outside of Richmond to Norfolk, to Charlottesville, to bring in large entertainment, and I'm trying to figure out why I have to do it when I live right here. If the city can accommodate events that we put on, why don't they? Why do we have to go everywhere else in order to get what the city needs to have? When we talk to our agents about this particular city, they call it a D-market. A D-market because you can't garner large art entertainment. You can't get artists in here if you don't have the facility in this space. I'm in support of it. I don't understand why anyone else is fighting. Thank you.
Anybody else? Going once? Going twice? On behalf of the commission members, and we will share a summary of these with those commissioners who are not here tonight, very much appreciate your time. We have one more public hearing tomorrow night, and Sunday night we're going to finish up our report, hopefully, if we come to agreement. We have a lot of diversity on this group, and so I'm hopeful that we do come to robust conclusions and hopefully a high degree of consensus on that. But we do very much appreciate the time people have invested to come out on a weeknight during holiday time. So thank you, and the meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.